welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. Good to have you back. Good to have you back. Good for me to be back. Good for all of us to be back. As a matter of fact, back together again. I tell you what, on a beautiful day, beautiful day. I hope it's beautiful where you all are as well. I know it is where some of you are, because some of you are in the same geographic location that I'm in. Showing up beautiful. It's a little cool. But I don't know. It might be a fair compromise, you know, for the people who really like it cold. You know, it's November. Believe it or not, we're moving close to. In fact, we are in the middle of November already. Can you believe that? We are in the middle of November already. So I guess you could say we kind of have a compromise. You know, it's showing up chilly in the morning times very often. But it's not super cold. In fact, pretty decent temperature out there right now. You know, jacket weather, that kind of thing. Light jacket weather. So maybe it's a kind of a compromise. You know, you can still go out there, and if you're not careful, you can get sick. You know, it's cool enough to get sick if you ain't careful. Yeah, so a bit of a compromise. Some of the rest of you, though, I know you're living in cold country where you all get some, sure enough, low temps. And some of you like it, but I tell you, I was kind of surprised when I finally started hearing people some years ago who are living in cold country saying that they actually don't like it. I used to think that everybody who lived in cold country, you know, like up north and other places where it snows and all of that, I used to think the people who lived there, all of them liked it. Some do and some don't. Just like down here in the South, some people like this heat and some don't. So I guess, you know, it's been chilly enough that we kind of have a bit of a compromise. Well, let me tell you what we're going to do today. You all know that normally we take our look into the future on Thursdays. Won't do that this week, because this Thursday I'll be speaking with two men at separate times about ways that we can go about making America truly beautiful. And when I say making America beautiful, don't get me wrong. I'm talking about the reality of our discussions about harmony, the reality of it, and not the rhetoric behind it. You know, that's part of the problem. Part of what we've had going on for so long, there have been so many people, not just Colin Kaepernick, but a lot of people, millions of people of all races and both genders, who hate the hypocrisy behind our national anthem. Not the national anthem itself, the hypocrisy, the fact that so many Americans do not live up to the standards and the ideals that are discussed in the national anthem, that are addressed in the national anthem. Our Star Spangled Banner, and so many people choose year in and year out not to live up to the standards and the ideals of the Star Spangled Banner. It's interesting that we have so many people who will get angry at people who choose not to support the hypocrisy, but they themselves won't do anything about the hypocrisy. Why? I mean, think about it now. From Washington, D.C., and spread out all across the land, we have so many people of all races, both genders, all age groups. I'm not going to include, you know, children, you know, 4 years old, 3 years old, 6 months old, but you know what I'm saying, who promote division. From Washington, D.C., and spread out all across the land, you have people like that. And yet they don't get upset about the fact that they push and promote the opposite of what our anthems and other songs and sayings of patriotism promote. They're not upset about that. They're upset that people are upset about the hypocrisy and don't want to support the hypocrisy. It seems to me that the best way to go is not to be upset about the people who make a statement, take a stand against the hypocrisy of things like racial injustice, social injustice, economic injustice. It seems to me that rather than getting upset at people who take a stand and speak out against these injustices, that people would really want America to truly be beautiful. I mean, be beautiful, not just talk about it, about what it can be. Talk about what it is. And there's no question that we do have a lot of beauty in America, including the many, many people who do so much good for so many as they can, whether that be just a few people in a small part of the world in which they live, or people who have the ability to impact millions by serving as business leaders, political leaders, religious leaders, you name it. Make America great again. Yes, you know what? America can be great. Now, but when we say again, what exactly does that mean? We know that from the beginning of the time that it came to be called America, we had people coming over here from Europe who were doing some great things with the Indians, while at the same time we had people doing some very, very ugly things to the Indians. And as it turns out, the people who were doing the ugly things to the Indians, the American natives, I'm sorry, because technically they're not Indians. They're Native Americans. The folks who were doing the ugly things to the Native Americans won out. From the time that it was called America, we had people here who were pushing hard to not only start slavery, but to try to keep it in play forever. And then we had people who were saying, no, slavery is wrong. We had to fight for civil rights for people of color, particularly the black race. And there were people of every race, every ethnicity fighting for the civil rights of people of color. While there were also people who were fighting hard to prevent civil rights from being part of life's equation for people of color, and particularly the black race. And to this day, we have people of every race fighting hard to make sure that all Americans can pursue happiness without encumbrance, without unnecessary barriers. And we have a lot of folks who are working as hard as they can and as persistently as they can to throw up as many barriers as they can. And again, it's not just the leaders, the constituents. We have constituents who fall into both of those camps. So what exactly is meant by Make America Great Again? What truly defines greatness of any nation? What are the criteria? What do you look for? You personally, what do you look for when it comes to defining a nation's greatness? Do you look at military power? Do you look at economic power? Do you look at international influence? Do you look at a truly fair judicial system? Do you consider how various ethnicities treat other ethnicities and their own ethnicities? Do you look at such things as morals and ethics? What defines greatness when you talk about a nation as being great? Do you look at such things as consistency between what is what the citizens of the nation say the nation is and what the nation really is? Is it the land of opportunity for all? Is it the land of opportunity only for some? What makes a nation great? How about the way the nation relates to other nations? Is the nation fair not only with the way citizens deal with fellow citizens within the nation, But is the nation fair in the way that it deals with other nations? What is meant by the word great when we say make a nation great, make the nation, make America great, or make America great again? What is great? And with the same, with the criteria that we would apply to greatness of America, apply to other nations as well. Would we want other nations to be great in the same way that America is, quote unquote, great? How are we doing? Is America being made great again? Are we being made great again while we have American citizens pushing hard for continued division, and not only continued division, but worsened division? Is that how we become great again? And again, especially with this happening, starting in Washington, D.C. and spreading out. Not that that is the starting point. That's where it originated in 2013, 2010, 2009, 2017. But the impact, the influence of the leaders in Washington, D.C. You notice how, as the vitriol, the hatred, the malice, the hostility in Washington, D.C. skyrocketed during the years of the Obama presidency, that the nation was ripe, the people whose hearts are filled with hatred and hostility and malice, meanness, were ripe for 2016 and 2017. Because they had been well primed. Well, hopefully many of you are still joining with those of us who truly want America to be truly great, really great, not just rhetorically great, but really great, beautiful. Definitely you've come to the right place. We encourage the celebration of diversity while promoting harmony from a positive perspective, from a perspective that brings benefit to Americans and not harm to Americans, and not trying to bring benefit to some Americans while bringing harm to many others. We try to promote that which is beneficial to all. And even though there are people who say, well, you want rich people to do well financially, you want middle class people to do well financially, and you want poor people to do well financially, how is that benefiting anyone? My preference is that rich people, middle class people, and poor people do better, and that is that poor people and middle class especially do much better, because these two classes need so much more help. We need so much more relief. And those of you who have been listening to me for a while, you know, I've stated very clearly on numerous occasions that I have no problem with wealthy people being wealthy. I just want wealthy people to gain their wealth in ethical ways, just like I want the middle class and the poor to gain whatever level of wealth they have in ethical ways. Don't want anyone bringing drugs into the country. Don't want anyone dealing drugs. Don't want anyone using illicit drugs. Don't want anyone cheating their employees out of their wages, whether the folks who would be cheating are rich, middle class, or poor themselves. Yeah, it's amazing how people can find ways to do wrong no matter what social class we're a member of. Yeah, I don't have a problem with people being wealthy. I just want them to get that wealth in ethical manners, in ethical ways. So yes, I would like to see wealthy people do well. I especially want to see the middle class and the poor do much, much better until the middle class and the poor are also doing well. I'm not saying or even suggesting that I think everyone should be rich. Mm-mm. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not suggesting that. And although I know that the poor will always be with us, I think that it's a travesty when we have people who are deliberately and continually devising ways and maintaining ways to make so many people, to force so many people to have to struggle just to survive. Well, let's continue to work together, as many of us as are willing, to make life as beautiful as possible as we can for as many as we can, as many people as we can. All right, when we come back, we're going to continue our look into the future, where on Thursdays we've been looking at what a lot of Americans are saying about automation and where it's being used to take us in the future. We're going to take a look at that. We're also going to take a look at cell phone safety. We're going to take a look at sports. But before we go there, to those places, I have a question for you. This is a question I got from a young friend of mine. And I decided, wow, this was so profound, I've got to pass it on to you all. Are you ready? Okay, here we go. What do you call cheese that does not belong to you? All right, one more time. I know I caught you off guard. Didn't let you know a pop quiz is coming. Here we go with the question again. What do you call cheese that doesn't belong to you? Nacho cheese. That's right. It is nacho cheese. Give it up.